try to record it on this so I can post it on my website. I'm trying to move away from Facebook eventually. There's a couple sites I'm going to eventually locate everything in. Facebook just regulates me too much, and working on a YouTube channel, and then in my website I'm trying to update it with things. So you guys keep me in prayer for that. And there's a couple more platforms out there. One's called Parler. I think it's Parler. I think that's a new platform. I'm trying to start posting a lot of stuff on that. And there's something called the Social Cross. It's a kind of Facebook-ish for Christians. Check it out. Social Cross, Parler. Trying to get a YouTube channel started up, and which they can regulate too. So goal is eventually get everything on my website, update my website where it's just crisp and I can post sermons like I'm doing now. To those out there that are looking for a true man of God to talk to, and I want to tell you guys, in our day and age, true men of God are thinning out. I posted an article last week. I can't quite remember the numbers, but it said like 73% of churches in America, and it was from a reputable source. You can go on my website and check that out. Are liberal. That's 73% and growing are liberal, meaning they support abortion. They don't believe in sin or hell. They don't believe. They believe that you can live your life any other way you want to. You don't have to be different. So within the workplace, you don't have to claim anything. You don't have to be different. Blend in with everybody. It's all good. God wouldn't want you to center it out. Lord forbid if you said Jesus in your workplace and what would happen. If you have a pastor telling you that's okay, or evangelist telling you okay, that's not okay. And that's my rant. That's not my sermon tonight. I am recording this. So my sermon tonight is in Mark 4, verse 36 through 41. And I think, you know, it kept throughout the day. This started just popping in my head. And man, we're going through a storm. And keep us in your prayers in Louisiana. And what would be an awesome time to talk about a storm in the Bible where the disciples were facing something. So if you have your Bibles, turn to me, Mark 4, verse 36. And hopefully power won't go out on us, but we'll see. I love you guys and all my Louisianas out there that are hunkering down. Be safe. Just be safe, right? So Mark 4, 36 says, and when they have sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Hello, Bill. Got distracted. I seen Bill on there. Hello and wave at you, buddy. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship, so it was now full, and he was hindered. That's the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said unto him, Master, cure thy, that thy we perish. And he rose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they fear exceedingly. More fear, right? And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Guys, bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight just thanking you for another day. As this storm, this physical storm comes on us, Lord, I pray that you keep us within all of this anxiety and this fear, Lord. Let us put our faith in you. Let us lay our hopes in you, because you are the anchor within that storm. Lord, let us keep in mind that you are the master of the storm. You are in control. And that you will guide us and you will direct us to provide the places that you need us to be tonight. And that you will guide and direct us for preparation already and after. Lord, be with us and let us never lose focus and place you before everything else. Knowing when we have the Holy Spirit, it will guide and it will direct us to places of safety. Let our minds be open to the Holy Spirit to guide us. To others around that can provide safe shelter during this storm, Lord. And Lord, I pray when they're gathering, Lord, that they just pray and they seek your face. And they look at the Bible and they study, Lord. Prayer is important. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just keep us in the storm. You just keep us, Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we're in Louisiana. I'm in Louisiana, and we're in the midst of a storm. I'm hoping I won't run out. The power won't cut out on me. But, you know, when we look at Mark 4, verse 36 to 41, a kind of intro, you picture this. You have the disciples. They are what the King James Version calls a ship. And when you think of a ship, you don't be thinking of a cruise liner or a cruise. You're going to Alaska on a cruise. This is about as long as a delivery truck and about as wide as a typical bass boat. So you country guys out there, you kind of can get a hint of bass boat. And so it was not really a large vessel here. And here comes a storm, a great storm with powerful winds and waves beating the side, and the water is filling this boat up, guys. I don't know if you guys, you know, I'm a country boy. I was raised in the country, and you know, I had my share of incidents on in the lake, you know, fishing or canoeing, and you know, you're out there as a kid and you're fishing, and the winds start picking up, and you know, you're really having a good day. You're starting to catch a lot of fish, right? And you know, but that weather just starts to increase, and the boat is starting to rock back and forth, and you're like, well, I believe I could stay a little bit longer. I may should be heading home. Oh, somebody was trying to call me. Spam, I guess. So the devil is how he works, right? I'm eventually going to have to get me a web camera. That's the goal. Lord provides the funding for that. I need to get me a web camera. But so the storms come, right? And you're out there and you're a little bit longer. It's getting worse and they're all, I better get home. But by then the wind's blowing, the water's coming in the boat. You know, the boats, as a boy in the country, I have flipped my share of boats in the water and had to swim home. Not encouraging children out there to do that, because we had alligators around in that area a while back ago. They may still be out there. But look, you have these disciples, right? And most of them were used to storms to a degree, and because they were fishermen, some were fishermen, so they understood the physical storm. They knew what type of storms and the capacity, so they were afraid. They had fear. And they look over there and there's Jesus. He's sleeping on a pillow. You know, they were confused. Maybe they were feeling abandoned. Maybe they were feeling hopeless. And within that physical storm, they were experiencing a spiritual storm too within. So two storms, guys. And I'm here to tell you, as children of God, we are not alone. When we are going through these types, physical, spiritual storms in life, we are not alone. It could be like right now we have this physical storm that's coming on us. And I encourage you guys to pray. Of course, getting safe. Use common sense and getting safe places and all this. But pray. And it also could be grief, loss of a loved one, depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide. I had those and still suffer to a level, but I understand. I do a lot of study on spiritual warfare, so I know where to put those now. Addiction, you know, my testimony, I was drugs, and you know, but it's not about me, right? And feeling of doubts, a broken marriage, unplanned pregnancy. It could be a physical illness, right? I don't know what you guys are going through today or what you've been suffering through this year. All I know is a child of God. God will not abandon his children. Don't let Satan fool you in that. God will not create a spirit of fear in his children. And he will not leave his children hopeless. And that's kind of the 3 points, right? This is a 3-point sermon. So as we look at that first point, God will not abandon his children. Well, let's look at the Mark chapter 4. And it tells us of a storm, a great storm. It had great wind and the waves were so aggressive. And that ship was full of water. And the disciples, you know, they were freaking out. Can you just imagine that? All that stuff going through their minds and they find Jesus asleep. Maybe you're at that state right now and you just have all the stuff rushing in your head. We know they felt abandoned. Do you feel abandoned right now? Hebrews 13:5 tells us, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. But that part, but I want you to really look at this last part of it. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I grew up in church and I never really heard sermons that really touched on application-wise that would grip you right where you're at in the struggles that you're going through, especially as a teenager, all the things I was going through. And, you know, you've children today have to face so many more challenges than we have to. My heart really hurts for children a lot. I have a heart for children when I see things like abortion and how the entertainment world is trying to seduce our children. It hurts me. I don't try to be mean. I'm just trying to yell out there in the voice in that wilderness and saying, we need to be aware of what our children watch. We need to be aware of what our teachers are teaching our children. And not saying all teachers are bad. I'm just saying we need to be aware of the curriculum. How many have asked the teachers, what's your lesson plans and what are you teaching our children and this and this? Take more focus within your child's life if you have little ones, even teenagers. Some of the media out there, the MTV, which they've been doing if you study the foundation, the MTV, it will break your heart on the satanic cult that MTV was founded on. There's a good series out there. I recommend anybody that is curious to dab into that. Go into it's they sold their soul for rock and they sold their soul for rock and roll. And I can give you the link after this. I got the document. I watched it. My heart hurt. I had tears in my eyes watching it. And I was influenced as a child. But I'm kind of getting off point, right? So, abandoned. We are not, as a child of God, we need to realize we are not abandoned. When the depression, when the anxiety, when the loneliness, and it just grips our heart and we're reaching out to the world for answers, I just want to tell you, they will leave you in. The only answer is in Jesus Christ, our rock, the foundation. Within that rock, everything should be attached onto it. He is the belt of truth. If you look at Ephesians 6 and you read from 10 all the way down, you will see the spiritual armor which speaks of the belt of truth. You see, the enemy, he's a mastermind at lying and manipulation and deceiving you. He wants to fill you with all of this fear, and that's what the disciples were feeling on this boat. All this was coming, and they looked down, and they seen Jesus sleeping. You know why? Because Jesus was not worried. He was right there in the boat with them, right? And, you know, we don't always get it right. I know I don't always get it right. And, you know, and any preacher out there that tells you they got all the answers, they don't have all the answers. Only Jesus has all the answers. We're just human beings. My name don't mean nothing. It's all the name of Jesus. He is the foundation of our faith. He is the solid rock which everything holds together. But as children, we should know that Jesus is right there with us through all of it. He's with me right now. He's with you where you're at right now. He is with us. We can face the situations or challenges in this life because of that rock, Jesus. That is a core. Thoughts of abandonment, we should recognize that as the enemy attack, destroy you. I know I felt those before. And sometimes can still feel those. But we recognize this. This is the enemy. And we give it to God through prayer, which is direct communication to God. And He wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from us every day. We should know that He cares for us. And He loves us so much. And He will give us strength to endure that physical storm and that spiritual storm within inside of us. As we look at these disciples on this boat, we could say they had a spirit of fear, right? The spirit of fear is another lie, another tactic by the enemy to affect God's children. Chapter 1, verse 7 tells us this, For God had not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We need to recognize that God does not give us the spirit of fear, because the spirit of fear destroys our peace. It misdirects our eyes away from Jesus, as disciples were in that boat, freaking out. Because their eyes were not on Jesus. When we place our eyes on Jesus, not according to my words, according to the word of God, He said we have power, we have love, we have sound mind. I asked you guys today, do you have a sound mind right now? Is your peace still? Do you have a peace that passes all understanding? 1 John Chapter 4:18 tells us this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. That is, the spirit of fear will torment your mind. That fear is not perfect in love. See, Satan creates the spirit of fear, while God creates the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. As this storm approaches us, remember, Jesus is in control. He has this, guys. Yes, we take preparations in this, but we need to understand, if we're letting fear grip us and we can't focus on the Word of God, we can't focus on how good God is through all of this, and we're fearing, oh, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how this is going to place it in God's hands. Pray, pray, pray. I always say pray, pray, and pray till it hurts. You see, Jesus prayed. I encourage you guys to do a topic Bible study on prayer with the Synoptic Gospels, as Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then, of course, John in that part. And just look how many times Jesus prayed. You know, he prayed. He prayed at the very beginning. He prayed at the very end. He prayed. Prayer is a direct communication. And of course, as we look at this whole coronavirus and stuff, and the fear that has, the spirit of fear that has gripped our nation over this. Yes, it's real. Is it being weaponized to destroy America? Yes, it has. And it will. And it could continue, depending on how the election turns out. We need to understand, the enemy creates a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is powerful. I see it. I look into people's eyes and I see the fear. Where's the peace, right? We need to understand we are not in control of anything. God has it. And we need to give it to Him because as children of God, we should not be acting like the rest of this world when the chaos is taking over the world and the spirit of fear is blinding everybody. We should recognize that how children of the highest should act. We should recognize God got this. This could create peace. This peace inside of us is only through Jesus Christ that calms everything down. Why everything is falling apart. I want to tell you, it may look like it's falling apart, but it's falling right into place because of His love. Because of He got it. Jesus has it. We don't have to keep it in our hands. We can give it over to Jesus within that storm. That physical and that spiritual storm, we place it in God's hands. And when we do this, we have a peace within that storm. Amen, right? The third point here is, since we are God's children and we're going through storms in life, right? We need to realize Jesus will not leave us hopeless. You see this? Here's the disciples. We already talked about them being abandoned. They're full of fear, the spirit of fear. Now we know they're feeling hopeless too. If we look at the last few verses here in Mark 4, 38 through 40, it says this, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, that's the back, asleep on a pillow. They awoke Him and said unto Master, cure thy, we perish. And He rose and He rebuked the wind. He said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a calm. And they said, why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? No faith. Jesus tells them, why do you have no faith? If we look at Hebrews 11. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, substance of things hope. Hope, right? In Hebrews 6, Paul tells us Jesus is our hope. He is our anchor to our soul. See, the disciples lost sight during the storm. They lost sight of their hope that was right there within the boat. And He was right there sleeping because He was not worried. Man. Worry. Man, how I see that so much in the church today. Not speaking negative, I'm just saying the anxiety and it's amazing. Worry, and then worry some more. I guess pray later, right? That's between you and God, but if I had to put my... If I was a fly on your wall, I would question if you are really praying. See, you can lie to me. You can lie all day you want to me. Jesus sees your heart. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows if you're praying. He knows if you're studying your Bible. He knows where your heart lies. And that's all Him, not me. I'm just a messenger. I would say don't kill the messenger, but you've seen what they did in the Old Testament and... in the New Testament to the people that said, thus said the Lord. They didn't care much for that. And I was reading an article about a town in Flagstead. And this town, Flagstead, they needed some work done on their dam, right? So they were going to have this work done. They wanted to create a lake area for the people of the town. So they ordered these two projects and they had to flood the town. And because of this flooding, the town folks quit making repairs to their house. They quit doing any type of maintenance or improvements on the town. We could say that town lost hope. This has happened when we have no hope in God. As children of God, we have hope. As disciples were there in the storm, hopeless, Jesus, our hope, the anchor of our soul right there. All they had to do was come to him and ask for strength and comfort within that storm. From personal experience, I can relate. As I'm going alone, my day's going pretty good, and then out of nowhere, something happens, and maybe you guys can relate, right? It's just like it's like rocking the boat, right? And, you know, everything's flowing, emotions are good, and then suddenly, say you're in traffic, somebody cuts you off, and bam, you're in a bad mood, or say you're driving, your tire blows out. And everything that you thought of that day just goes, whoop, I got to change my tire. Oop, I'm going to be late for work. Oop, I may lose money. Oop, they might get fired. You know, all these things start rushing to your head, right? And I'm still learning to say, whoa, nah. That is... You see, that's how the devil works. I call it compound emotional emotion. You got to say, whoa, no. Tire's blown out for a reason. God allowed that to happen for a reason. Is God trying to speak to me some way? Is there somebody that's driving by that might pull up that might need to hear about the word of God? Or is it just you don't need, you know, I don't, you know, you don't know. So you start putting stuff in perspective. You call work, you say, hey, my tire's blown out. I'll be a little late. You know, you're changing your tires. It's easy to lose focus, right? I get it right some days. But some days I don't get it right. And that's when I get on my knees and I pray for the Lord to guide and direct my path. I want him to fill me with hope and peace and joy. I want to reflect more of him and less of me. We are love, but we can be stubborn. I can speak from experience. We can be stubborn. As we close this out tonight, I just want to tell you guys, you're not abandoned. God will not leave you abandoned. Don't let Satan fill you with those lies tonight or tomorrow or for the rest of the week or for the rest of the year. And normally I post these sermons on my website. And I don't normally go live like this, but I felt the urge to do a live video tonight. So you guys can keep track of that when I post. I try to post MP3 players every Wednesday of a sermon. But you're not abandoned. And understand the spirit of fear. Understand that is driven by Satan. When it starts disrupting your peace, when you're running around and trying to do it all on your own, and you're losing focus on the big picture, Jesus. I call it the I-isms. I gonna get gas. I'm going to get batteries. I'm going to get blankets. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't for God giving you health to be able to make money and have it in your account and be able to drive your car and your car's functioning to go to that place. You wouldn't be getting nothing. Recognize where it comes from. Oh, I got a generator. Oh, I got to get gas. Oh, I got to do this. Recognize that God is allowing you to do that and praise his holy name for that, because that is a blessing. There's people in third world countries that wish they had that wealth. We take that for granted. We as Americans, we are spoilt. We are spoilt. But we need to understand that God will not leave us abandoned. We need to understand that he will not give us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Meaning during all that, you should have peace when you're doing this. Thank God I'm able to do this. Thank God maybe I can go over there and help somebody else that needs help right now. Maybe I can reach out to somebody after this storm. Maybe I can reach out to somebody that needs help on their house or something. They may need something. Help me be a light to the community when everything falls apart and people are suffering and hurting. Lord, use me. Use me. That's how you make a change, right? And we need to understand our true hope is in only in Jesus Christ. There is no other hope found in anywhere that will suffice. You can have hope and the you can have hope in the election as much as you want. You can have hope in a better economy. You can even have hope in yourself that you will make a better living. But I'm telling you, they will all fall short unless God says, okay, I'm going to allow that for you. Hope within Jesus is the only thing that will stand when this world is over with. When tonight could be your last night. You know, this could be the last voice you hear, and the voice that I speak as a messenger of God saying, here's God and here's His Word. Tonight could be your last night on this earth. The only hope that you will truly have is when you close your eyes and you don't open them and you open to the next world. You will be looking at God. And God will say, well done, my good faithful servant. Or depart me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, Lord, didn't I preach these great sermons? Lord, didn't I proclaim a gospel that touched people? Or didn't I motivate you speak people and they came to you? Didn't I sing in a choir or lead singer of a Christian band that brought people to you? Didn't I depart me, you worker of iniquity? I never knew you. Didn't I lead good Bible studies? Didn't I get on Facebook and proclaim your name? God sees our hearts. He knows where we stand. And the only true hope is when we close our eyes, we open them up, and Jesus says, come on in. Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. See, all those things that it's sad when I look at the world, and in this year, you will see record-breaking stats on suicide. You will see record-breaking stats on depression and anxiety. I keep track of some of the stuff and it hurts my heart. People are taking their lives. The numbers are going to be crazy this year. Remember, keep our nation in your prayers every day. We have fallen away from a true truth within our nation, a true fundamental foundation in our nation of God. When abortion is running rampant, when entertainment takes more precedent over the Word of God, when, and we allow this, and our children are watching this, and they're influenced by the entertainment, and they know more about Harry Potter than they know about Jesus. We have failed, and we will suffer greatly for it. And believe it or not, I do a lot of studying, and this has been taking place about 100 plus years now, so we're already feeling the suffering of that. Don't think all of this chaos in our nation is something new. It's because, or it happened overnight. The devil's been chipping away. I've done so much research. I look at it, I'm like, where are the pastors at that been in the pulpit 40, 50, 60 years? What were they proclaiming? Were they just hiding in a corner? That'll be, let me get off on that. I'll keep you guys here for another hour on that. I'm planning to preach several sermons on false teachers and basically lukewarm pastors within our pulpits. There's numerous of them. And they don't want to preach on stuff like Disney. They don't want to preach on stuff like Harry Potter. Because the congregation, they love Disney. They love, you know, Disney, right? They donate a lot of money, millions, to abortion. Millions. They support lesbians. And they want to indoctrinate our kids. So you're letting them watch Disney movies? Really? Really? Oh, Jonathan, you just stepped a line. You know what? I will step a line until they throw me in jail and lock me up and throw and say, hey, we're going to shut this crazy guy off because he's preaching something we don't want people to hear today. And most churches are like, ah, we don't want that radicalness. But then I see people, oh, where are the John Baptists today? Where are the prophets of Jeremiah and Elijah? Really? They walk into your church right now, you're going to kick them out because you don't want to hear, thus said the Lord, repent. If John Baptist came back today from the wilderness would be the churches. He would say, repent and be baptized every one of this lukewarmness that has engulfed your heart. Oh, we're not lukewarm. Keep telling yourself that. Whatever helps you sleep at night. Jesus tells us, you're neither hot or cold. Yes, there's a middle ground. Jesus speaks of, that's lukewarm. He said, I will spit you, I will spew you out of my mouth, I will vomit you out of my mouth, you're not mine. You will not hear that in many pulpits, if any, in America today. Love you guys. Y'all be safe during the storm. I'm going to do some reading here and try to bunker down, and y'all keep us in your prayers, and hopefully, you know, nobody loses their life in this storm. Material stuff can be replaced, a life, and my heart hurts if somebody perished in a storm that was not truly saved by Jesus. You know, that really bothers me. You know, physical things can be replaced. Houses can be replaced. Personal items, which is devastating, can be replaced. But if a man or a woman dies in a storm, I pray that their soul is saved, because they have two destinations, that's heaven or hell. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.